Yeah.
Oh,
Thank you.
Sounds very official, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So I'm going to do this thing. I am in my little recording space. I'm just going to close my door.
Okay.
Because it's early and housemates, the people that I live with, don't need to be woken up this early.
Sure. I'm anyway, also in my recording space, by the way.
Okay. Well, that's I'd like to sort of get into that and have a chat with you about that and find out. So for people who don't know you, what is your name? Who are you? Where do you come from? What's your blood type? I don't know. Who are you? So bruised shins. Now tell me about this. Tell me about this name. Where did this come from for those who don't know?
Yeah, I think I mentioned this in my AMA, but bruised shins is actually the name of my original Reddit account name, username. I will say that I did not use Reddit at all. I honestly thought that Reddit was sort of like for the dregs of the internet society, and I just avoided Reddit like the plague. I've since changed my mind about that, but
have you now?
At the time, Reddit doesn't have it just had a very a reputation. So I was like, oh good lord, I don't think I could ever join Reddit. But then I am a cyclist, and I'm an avid cyclist, and I like trail biking and mountain biking, and so. There was a point where I did have some questions about bike maintenance and trails and all these things. And then I thought, why not join Reddit? There are all these different subgroups about that.
Yeah.
And when it was time for me to pick a username, I picked one sort of as a joke, calling myself Bruised Shins because of the number of times I'd banged my shins on my pedals when I was on a trail. And so that was my biker name. And that was very funny to the community. and I got my information that I needed. That was about a year ago. My cake day passed about, I'd say, a year and 3 months ago. So if you look at my account, it says that I've been a Redditor for over a year. But that was because I started on that biking subreddit. And then after I got that, I was on there for like maybe a month. And then I promptly got off after I needed what I needed to get to. And it just sort of left the account open until I decided to start using it for this when I got into the audio recording part. And I started using it. And then I realized, especially as I started getting more popular, like, oh, damn, people can see my history of, the other stuff that I was active in. I quickly... left those subgroups, and then I had to start a new sort of legit, suitable for work Reddit account for anything that I would possibly need. So, I didn't want to change Bruised Shins because I'd already made a name for myself as Bruised Shins, so I decided just to keep it.
You weren't going to rebrand or anything like that?
No, not at this point.
Okay, no.
Yeah.
And how did you get into this space and into the erotic audio side of Reddit? How did this come about for you?
Yeah. All right, so I've always had a thing for audio. And I'm dating myself by saying that when I was a young boy, probably too young, I had discovered these smutty phone sex lines as like a pubescent kid, where you would call these numbers and you would get a pre-recorded, maybe 3-minute recording of some woman moaning and giving some fantasy. It's just all pre-recorded. And and I almost became very addicted to that as a child. That all came to a stop when my parents, confronted me with the mysterious charges on the phone bill.
Oh, how did that go down?
That was just that was a very awkward conversation. But anyway, at that point, I decided I couldn't do that anymore until I was able to pay for my own phone bill. And so on and off, it has always been sort of a thing for me to do when I was younger, sexually frustrated or just needed some sort of release. The fantasy of that has always been, I think people's voices are very, very stimulating to me.
Sure.
And then I am a married man,
mm-hmm.
and with kids, and you know, the life gets in the way of having the type of sex that you crave. And without getting too much in the doom and gloom of it, basically I was scrolling through Reddit for porn. And I had just, I didn't even know, this is how much of a neophyte I was about porn there. I was like, I don't even know. I was just like, do I search porn as a subreddit? And then I searched Girls Gone Wild, because I thought, oh, that's kind of a porny thing. And I did that. And then I realized that there's all these different Gone Wild subreddits. And then when I saw Gone Wild Audio, it really piqued my interest. And I started listening. And
did you find Nirvana?
I was hooked. And Wicked, I've told you that you're one of the people that I listened to, and I thought to myself,
oh boy,
this is amazing. And I felt it was just, it was a great way to get sexual satisfaction out of it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoy other forms of porn. Yeah. However, I find that oftentimes video porn sometimes turns me off, only because sometimes the acting is just so terrible. And the storyline is so terrible. And that really sort of drops me out of it entirely. I understand that, because if you look like a porn actor looks like, you don't have to be a good actor. No. You've got the assets that you need already. Yeah. You just have to do the stuff. So that's it. Pretty people having a good time. That's it.
Yep. Yeah.
Whereas we audio porn performers need to really sell a performance. And I think when I listen to audio, it's much more immersive, because then I can put myself in the listener's shoes, or lack of shoes, I guess. But I can absolutely picture myself being there, being spoken to by the performer. Whereas the closest you can get to that with video porn is the POV porn, which just looks really strange and distorted and weird. And, you know, I don't want to see anybody else's penis instead of my penis. And it's just, it's a very strange sort of thing.
Get that out of here.
And I can't get that out of my head. And frankly, I'm always thinking, by the way, about how awkward it really must be to perform that. Like, someone's wearing like a camera rig around their head as they're performing, and it just completely gets me in the wrong headspace.
Yeah. Okay.
So I really enjoyed the listening, and I was a listener for, I'd say, 2 months, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. 2 months, and then I thought to myself, I could do this. In fact, I would find it appealing if I could. How great would it be if I could give women the satisfaction that I'm getting from these performers?
As a listener, yeah.
As a listener. And so I tried it, and I think that was, I looked at my Reddit history, and my first audio was 104 days ago. So 3.5 months ago.
Yeah.
Right. I started. That's it.
What sort of audios, you know, what type of audios do you record? Are they, you know, are they all not suitable for work, or, you know?
Yeah, I jumped right into the NSFW stuff. I did not even dip my toe into pillow talk or anything. I'm automatically going to.
We're going whole hog, people.
We're just going whole hog. Absolutely. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And really, and frankly, it was a way for me also, as a as a person seeking sexual stimulation to be able to get that, because that's a part of it for the performance, is that, you know, that I cannot perform, I can't fake it. I cannot perform without actually being aroused. So I started with a script from Sloth 215, and it was called You Can't Marry Him. And it was about this sort of tortured soul. It was a very sort of friends to lovers or enemies to lovers sort of script. And it was it had outer course instead of intercourse, but still. But I enjoyed the script. I looked at it as a story. I scrolled through many scripts, and I thought to myself, there's just this tortured guy who is trying to convince this girl that he's convinced that he hates to not marry and settle for this other man. And as a performer, that appealed to me. So I really kind of, in the beginning, was really looking for scripts that had that sort of angsty quality about them, because I thought that that's what I did well. And so I was doing that.
How was that received for you? But, you know, what, were you nervous the first time you posted your audio to see what the response was going to be, or if there would be a response? Yeah.
You know, it's I hate to say this because I know this will sound terrible, but I have been blessed or cursed with extremely high self-esteem. So whenever I do something, I just sort of do it, and I just assume that things will work out for me because
brilliant. Wow.
That's probably a terrible, I mean, I know that people are listening going, oh, what an awful person this is. Like, oh, good Lord, this guy's so full of himself. And it's not because, and it's not really an arrogance. It's just, I just kind of know what I can do. And and I've lived a fairly charmed life in the sense that when I attempt things, they tend to go well, which drives people crazy, but that's kind of how it works out for me. And I was very pragmatic going into it, knowing that there were hundreds of thousands of people listening, that there had to be an audience for me out there somewhere. And I didn't really so much care about, you know, was this going to hit or anything like that. I just wanted to see if maybe someone would hear it and enjoy it. And comment on it and say that I helped them, you know, I helped them come. I helped them have an orgasm.
Yeah.
And that would just be so gratifying to me as a sexual person to know that I brought someone pleasure. So that's all I was hoping for. I had very, very modest goals. Yeah. And then it turned out to do really well. That first one I got a lot of attention. And that was immediately very, very you know, that was gratifying and just emboldened me. I was like, oh, wow, I guess people like this. And then I just sort of kept
going.
Were
you going to continue regardless? Or
I think I was going to continue regardless. But I don't know if I would have taken the pace that I did in the beginning. Are you still there?
What was that? Yeah, yeah. What was that pace?
Oh, I was this was when my schedule was a bit freer, but I was posting close to every day at that point. Wow. If not every day, I would say maybe five times a week. So I would find a time to sneak away and quickly record something on my phone and post it as fast as I could. And just to see what would happen. And so I would just look for scripts, and it would be this process of, you know, look for a script, sneak away, record it, post it immediately. And then just throughout the following day, just constantly check my phone to see what the feedback would be. And, you know, and as I saw, you know, the upvotes and the comments, you know, that just immediately emboldened me and just made me feel so good about myself, I just kept on doing it. It was sort of the cycle for me.
Yeah. So you mentioned you sneak away for this, you know, to record. So that's something that's like necessary for you. It's in terms of your privacy and your ability to record and when you record and where you record. What is that process for you?
Well, since my entire life is a secret, and my entire online life is a secret, and then that's why it's sort of strange. I mean, for my own personal reasons, nobody in my in real life life knows that I'm doing this.
Would that have a negative impact if they did know? Like if say your work colleagues or your family and friends discovered that?
Oh, absolutely. Right. It would be, I think it would be disastrous. Without getting too grim about it, it was, I calculated the risks and I saw what would happen. Right now it is not in the foreseeable future. I don't think there'd be a time where I will just sort of reveal, you know, this part of my life.
Yeah.
And I've been able to maintain that, but it's sort of odd, but,
it limits your, but still you're able to, you know, produce the amount of content that you do, despite those limitations of, you know, when you record.
Yeah. You know what? I've now got a reputation, for taking long leisurely drives in my family now. I sort of have to go shopping. I have to do things. I have to run errands. And they just take maybe half an hour longer than they're supposed to, or, you know.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes my commute home is a little bit longer than it should be.
Sure. Yeah.
At a certain point, I can sort of get away with that. And that's
for now.
I try to make that work. And so I used to be able to. I used to be able to get away a little bit more within my home, and now I can't. Okay. So now it's just for again.
Where do you record now?
I record. I would say primarily in my car. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So I have, in the 5 mile radius, I have already scoped out, my favorite secluded parking lots, that. That I know, depending on where I'm going, if I'm going to and from work, I've got some, and from the store, I've got some. Like, I've just, so I know where to turn away, you know, like, I'll just turn off here, I can just, you know, do my thing and then continue. So it's sort of on the path. I'm always on the where, you know, I'm always aware of where my nearest recording space could be, where I have a bit of privacy.
And does that sort of heighten the experience then that, you know, you are... the secrecy of it, and does that add another layer of, you know, ooh, this is really naughty.
it can sometimes, it's just terrifying, but there are other times when it depends on what I'm doing. And there are certain, and so yes, so there are certain times when, again, it all depends so sometimes I'm in various states of undress, I guess, and so I have to make sure that where I am is completely secluded and I can do what I need to do. I've got a whole system about how I manage that. But yes, it can be extremely, extremely sexy in the sense that, like, oh my gosh, I could get caught. This is so risky and dangerous.
That's quite thrilling in itself, isn't it?
It is thrilling. And, you know, and then sometimes the reality comes in, like, oh my gosh, what if someone saw me that knows me? This would be terrible. But the part of the appeal of GWA for me, at least when I talk about scripts that appeal to me, is this notion of the tortured guy that is always sort of struggling with what he should do versus what desire is making him do. And that it's that internal conflict that really fascinates me and draws me in. And really, quite honestly,
does that drive you in a way? Does that motivate you to? Yeah, yeah.
Well, it is very, very similar to my actual situation. But the fact is that ultimately in the fantasy, in the audios, is that desire wins out, right? So we put up all these walls about why we shouldn't do that thing, why I shouldn't talk to that woman, why I shouldn't be, in this situation. And in real life, of course, we've got those walls, those barriers will hold.
Those boundaries and
And
limits
those
and
barriers, absolutely. And in fantasy life, they don't have to. So there, it
Oh, it's
just
pure indulgence, isn't it?
absolutely. And it feels so good to think that, like, oh, in this situation, this fantasy life, this guy will just do it and just consequences be damned. He's just going to go for it. And so, yeah, and I think that kind of goes back, that is sort of related to why I do what I do and the way that I do it, and why I can somehow maintain this pace and continue to do it this way, because that's I don't know how long it'll last, but so far it's I haven't stopped yet. It's not I'm not I don't see it stopping.
Who is your audience primarily? Are they women? Are they men? Are they a combination? Are they, do you, in terms of, your feedback and your comments and messages and that sort of thing?
I would say probably 99% women. I don't get a lot of feedback from men. I know that a few men follow me on Twitter. I know there might be a couple of men that are followers of mine on Reddit. When I did my 3,000 or what actually 2,000 my 2,000 follower celebration, when I offered to moan people's names, I had which was a whole other project in itself, over 150 different names. I had a couple men.
Wow.
I would
You did?
say, yeah, I think I had like two or three men on that, but otherwise all women.
Primarily women.
Which makes sense. I mean, all the audios are that I've recorded are M for F.
Right. And
So
okay, that's, I find that really interesting that I don't know. That's the part of me would think that you would have, maybe you do have more, more male followers than you, listeners, I should say, not necessarily followers, but it's hard. It's hard to ascertain that, really, isn't it, in this space?
I have no idea.
Are there specific genres or, kinks or things that appeal to you that you get, better feedback on than others, or have you found niches for yourself that, you find appeal?
Well, I certainly have noticed that anytime I do a DILF audio, I seem to get very, very, very high numbers. I get if I ever have DILF in the title, and I'm doing it, all of a sudden that my the numbers are, all, the l listens will be over 10,000 listens for the
Wow.
for
Wow.
for a DILF audio, versus if I do like a boyfriend audio or something, that BFE audio, maybe more like 6,000 to 8,000 listens at that point.
Is that
My
surprising to you, or is that new for you in, is it, did you just think, oh, one day I'm going to choose that script, or how did you sort of discover that?
That was sort of a happy accident. I chose strips more for the drama of them. I don't like strips where it's just really just a guy saying, "Hey, let's have sex," and then they have sex. It doesn't appeal to me as far as the story. I think that gets kind of boring. So I was always looking for like that sort of tension. And then some audios would do really well, and some audios would not. And they're just that's just how it is. I don't think people are looking for the necessarily the same thing that I'm looking for, and that's okay. As long as I figure, as long as I enjoy it, that's what matters. As long as I find it sexy, that's all that matters, and there'll be an audience for it somewhere. And then,
Absolutely.
I recorded an improv, which is basically the first DILF audio that I recorded, and it's basically called like "I fucking hate you" or something like that, or something along the lines of that. And it's this hate sex audio that I was inspired to perform. And I can tell you about the story about it later, but yeah. Basically there, yeah. But one of the premise is that it is a married DILF, having an affair with his neighbor who is also married. And there was DILF in the title. And I was very, very specific about the tags, about that this was a cheating fantasy. And that just blew up. That has become my most popular audio ever.
Yeah.
I think
and that was
right
an
now,
improv of yours.
And that was an improv. I have not received numbers like that. So that, I think that now is at like around 30,000 listens at this point.
That's fantastic. So you might have found your niche. You might have found your space, maybe.
Yeah, I think when I saw that, I was like, oh, I guess I should lean into this. And the commentary was just all, you know, all the comments were like, oh, I love a good DILF. You have a great DILF voice. Yeah. So I sort of leaned into it for the next few audios. And I admit that sort of, I don't know, that's shooting fish in a barrel, right? You know, but but they still appeal to me. The strips still appeal to me. It's not just pandering. But they definitely inform my decision to continue with that. I guess that's become sort of my brand. But I still like to experiment with other things, but definitely I think what I'm being known for, where I saw the biggest surge in followers was whenever I would post one of these with these DILF audios, and all of a sudden I would see just tremendous numbers of people following me.
Yeah, that's I have to agree. I sort of likewise fell into a specific sort of space that seems to really resonate with my listeners. Yeah. And I thought, oh, I'm gonna run with that. Yeah, that works, because it works for me. It's always, I guess, ultimately it has to work for us, doesn't it? I think we operate really similarly in that respect. It's not just a performance. It needs to be genuine and authentic. And I need to, you know, I need to feel this, and I need to be immersed in it myself. So that it's not just a performance. But yeah, I agree with you. Just like once you find something that really rings true with a lot of people, then it's like, oh yeah, I'm here for it. Let me search scripts.
You know, exactly.
Madly strolling through scripts online. So yeah, personally, whenever I see, you know, other VAs fill similar scripts, I'm like, okay, save that. I'm going to save that one. But there are so many scripts. I don't know about you, but I've got
a backlog of scripts. I definitely do. All these things that I really enjoy. And then I also feel really bad about because I've done this a few times now, and I feel bad about this, because sometimes a script will come out, a writer will release a script offer. And I will see it, and I will look at the script like, oh, that's an amazing script. And I've got, meanwhile, a backlog of scripts that are very, very old. I should be doing those. But then I see this one, and it's, oh, this is really, really good. And I want to get this one done. I want to get
it's
this
shiny.
One done.
It's new. I want to do it.
It's shiny. Yes, exactly. This is my new toy. And then, of course, I'm not the only person with this idea. And so then I'm because of my situation, I'm very, 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 very rarely the first at bat with this. I usually am the second or third fill within a short period of time. And then I feel kind of weird about that, because, you know, I think it's weird for the audience to be inundated with the same story from three different people on three. I don't know. I would find that rather boring, I guess. You know, who wants to watch the same movie performed by three different actors?
It's really interesting.
But I
know
bad.
What you mean, though. You do?
I also feel bad for. I feel bad for the other performers too, because I don't want to feel like
there's a comparison.
Sort of, that there's a comparison, or that I'm, you know, I'm sort of stepping on someone else's space. considering how many scripts are there out there. I mean, there's enough for all of us, and yet at the same time, we're all doing the same one in the same week. And sometimes I feel like, should I hold on this? Should I wait on this? You know, to give everyone an opportunity. But, you know, at the same time, I say, like, you know, there are no rules to this. There's no decorum.
Yeah,
sometimes you just say, like, fuck it, we just got to do it.
Oh, gosh, I totally know what you mean in that, yeah, you just want to, you're doing it for you. You know, it is going to be received well by people who listen to you specifically. Yeah. And you bring your own flavor to it, right? And I know that I have literally woken up, seen a script offer, got out of bed for the purpose of just running to my space. And record. It's like, oh, I've got to say these words. You know,
exactly.
And I just upload that straight away, and I've done it within an hour of something being posted, and just because of, like, I need this. So, you know, and back to me. You know, it's not always about the listener, but
of course,
I totally get what you're saying in terms of being first at bat with something with a script offer and allowing space. And there's enough room in the sandpit for all of us, really. But and I know that causes grief, and it's something that I've addressed just recently in an update of mine. You know, asking people not to tag me in script offers and that sort of thing, because it can create that sort of, I don't know, it can be awkward. Because I know personally, if I see other VAs tagged in a script offer, I'm just like, oh, well, they don't want to hear me do it, so I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to take my microphone and leave. You know,
I'll just sit in the corner and cry with microphone.
That's fine. I can cry into my microphone too. But just that whole, allowing space for others. I understand where you're coming from, but like you said, there's no rules. But there's respect, I think, within the community that I find most.
I am trying to be a respectful member of this community and trying to be encouraging of other people. And so I understand that. I don't know if we are all, you know, if we are all taking that same consideration for each other, I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't. And in the end, it doesn't matter. What other people do should not inform how I act and how I behave. But, you know, but I just want to do what I do and try to do it the best way I can. I don't badmouth anybody else. I don't tell them they can't listen to anyone, you know, that audiences can't listen to anybody else. I just want to do what I want to do. And this is all pure indulgence for me, really. Yeah. Like, the whole reason why I'm on here is for me. You know,
and again, back to me. I totally agree with that. But the more time I sort of kick around this space and interact with other creators, the more appreciative I am of the creator community, not just the listener community, but and I guess, let's be honest, we're all listeners at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
But being mindful of others, and I don't know, I recently did a collab, as I hear some of my American friends say, with three, so there were four of us in it, but there are actually four independent groups of four female VAs. So think about that. Who recorded we're in our own server to record this one particular script, and we've released ours. My group released. So there are five groups actually.
So there's 20 different women all collaborating on this.
But the fact that there are going to be five versions of this particular script come out, I just think that's incredible.
You're all performing the same script, but just there's five different versions of this.
Yeah.
4F, 4M. Wow.
So it's the same version. We're all recording the same version, but with four different groups. Sorry, five different groups. So some of us are overlapping. I'm part of two groups. My group released theirs maybe 6 weeks ago. The second group released theirs. But again, it's still received huge, you know, a huge response, which I found really encouraging to see another group, you know, put theirs out. I think the third group is ready to post theirs soon. Of this one particular script, because the script is that good.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I have to go look for this.
Yeah, you go.
May I say, I'm sorry to interject.
You're going.
I just need to interject here that I think this is amazing. I find that the community, especially the women in the creator community, are just so great, and you're so supportive of each other and so uplifting of each other, and and you know, it's really great to see. And when I the female performers that I know are always such sweet people, and I've just had great experiences with them. I wonder, just because of a cultural thing, I wonder if we'd ever see the same sort of analog with men. Would we ever see, you know, groups of four men, five groups of four men performing the same four men script? I don't think it would happen. Just not because it's not necessarily because like men are bad, but I just don't think that we are brought up in that sort of environment, that culture of collaborating in that way. We're much more, I think we're much more solitary.
Yes.
So I've done a collab with Dallas, and I've got another collab coming out that I'm working on with another performer, but I think those are way more rare for men. I don't know why. Maybe it's threatening, but I just don't think we're used to that sort of experience. And I don't even think, I think that the scripts would even indicate that, because I don't think there's a lot of like 4M for F scripts out there. It's
agreed.
I think it's definitely much more.
I wish there was.
Yeah, well, I'm sure
I wish.
Could
you imagine the
I mean, we could get it all in on the male gaze and all that stuff as well, and how that works. And we don't need to get too involved in the sociology of it all. But I don't know. But I wish.
It's an interesting observation, though. I agree with you that that the multiple M for F or A or whatever your intended audience, it's rare. So when they do happen, I'm just like, play, come on, soundgasm, load, bloody load. I need to hear this. You know, it's just like, I need to hear it now.
Exactly.
Yes, it's really interesting you should say that. Maybe I need to have a word with some scriptwriter friends. Just go, hey, can you just get on that, please? But like you said, would you find four males, you know, willing to collaborate? There are a handful out there that... But not nearly as many as the, you know, multiple female for A or M script authors.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a, you know,
is it something you'd aspire to do, or you, like you said, you've got
I would not
one
be,
and you're doing another one.
I don't know. I mean, I would not object to doing one. I just don't know if it will happen. I know that's not, I'm not trying to be overly cynical about it. I just don't know if there are other men that would also be interested in that. And I think, and again, I don't want to get too deep into like the way that men and women act differently, but also admit that I am a fairly solitary creature. And so I will also just say, like, oh, you know, well, if something needs to get done, I'll do it myself. And that's basically it. And whereas I think women are more likely to communicate and collaborate with each other and do something like that. I'll just leave it there.
I absolutely agree with you. I think it's a really valid point that I find the other female VAs in this space hugely supportive and encouraging, and they motivate me and they inspire me, and doing collaborations, and I've done a lot recently in this past sort of month to 6 weeks.
I've noticed. I've been looking at you.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Oh,
me? You listen to me? Anyway, I love it. I love the whole process of it, and it has great appeal, I think. And what I do find more interesting is that the scripts that are being offered, there's a lot more female on female interaction within those scripts. Which, you know, I know not all females VAs are entirely comfortable with. And it's new for some of them. And I must admit, the first time I filled a script like that, I was like, oh, this is happening. I'm here for it. You know, how are you doing? You know, sort of things. But it's interesting. I don't know if that would happen in a male, you know, a multiple male. So.
Yeah, we're much more threatened about that. You know, if you're not, you know, I would say generally that many men are very much on one side of the spectrum when it comes to the sector, especially the performance. Yeah, the interaction. You know, as performers, you know, I know that we're all on the spectrum, and that, you know, there's some sexual fluidity. It's my experience that those of us who have chosen to get into this particular habit, this industry, I don't know what do you call this, the what we're doing, this art form, tend to be very much on the cisgendered straight male side of things. And you know, I understand that, because let's face it, I mean, we as a market, as an easy way to search something, it's easier for us to be compartmentalized. And this is a man, this is a male for a female. This is how it works. Yeah. And so we're it's a chicken before the egg sort of situation. Is it because the artists are this way that the scripts are this way, or vice versa? But the roles are fairly defined. You don't see a lot of pansexuality in strips. And so, you know, and I welcome that. Maybe if there was more of that, that'd be great. I know I would be willing to experiment on purely a fantasy audio level. Absolutely. Yeah. I would not feel threatened at that at all. It doesn't, you know, that would not be a problem for me. But again, yeah, it's very strange. We're circling back to the whole thing about, like, well, you know, women, you know, are women with women? Is it really for the appeal for men, or et cetera, et cetera? It becomes another whole.
It's a bigger conversation, isn't it?
Bigger conversation, you know, probably heavier than I need to cut in with you. you know, you just want to know if I jerk off in my car. Like,
yeah, really, you know, when it comes down to it, that's really what we're here to find out. can I ask, since you started recording, has it changed what you listen to personally as a listener?
I you know, it's strange. I don't know. I think that I've always found the same things sexy. I find again the same storylines that I am drawn to. For me, I am drawn to in other performers. So if there are other performers who are, let's say, so for example, this cheating thing is very, very popular, is a very big thing for me. Like so any sort of like taboo sort of thing where, like, we shouldn't, but we will, that sort of thing, the female's sexuality and womanly wiles just overcome, you know, all sense of boundaries, and therefore, you know, you go for it. And then again, you know, free of consequences. And so I think that's always been appealing to me. And so I listen to a lot of that.
Are there any audios in terms of that, in terms of recording, seeing as you seem to record what you like to listen to, that same sort of genre, and are there any scripts or tags or kinks or however you want to define it that you wouldn't record? Are there things that you just openly avoid and don't? Like, do people send you scripts?
Not really. The closest that came to that was a fan who basically wrote, not so much a script. They called it a script. It was really more just sort of an outline of what they would like to have happen, but it wasn't really a script. I haven't had any writer specifically send me a script saying, I think that this would be great for you. I've had people recommend scripts to me. I think you've done that. And you know, it's I think that you know, and basically saying, look at this. But yeah. I haven't had any writer specifically saying that I think your voice would be great for this. Yeah.
What are your limits in terms of what you're happy to record? Like, do you have specific kinks that you're like, yeah, that's a no-go zone for me?
I generally avoid rape entirely. Mm-hmm. So if it's completely rape, it's completely non-consensual, then I avoid that. That's a fairly hard limit for me. There's a certain limit for me for degradation as well. Mm-hmm. You know, there's certain degrading words that I can that I think are within my comfort zone, like, you know, that are playful and sexual, you know, calling someone a slut or a whore, mm-hmm. but like my whore, you know, and sort of in that
context.
In that context, that I'm comfortable with. I don't like it when someone it degrades someone to literally tear that person down, calling someone stupid and calling someone worthless. I don't like that, and I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could do it effectively. I can't sell that because that's not something I do. I love women, and I worship women. I love women. What I really believe in my own personal life is enthusiastic consent, enthusiastic vocal consent. Like and again, that's part of the reason why I kind of like this, the conflicted lovers thing, because at a certain point in my fantasy life, that all the barriers, all the walls, and all the guardrails around just immediately having sex with the other person, those are all artificial constructs that we've placed in front of ourselves. But the actual truth is that we desire each other so much that all those things go away. And so that's how I rationalize that and say, like, these two people actually really, really want each other. And all that subtext in the beginning is just invented. They don't really feel that way. It's just about getting to the point where, you know, that we reach a tipping point, and then, you know, all bets are off. And then we see their true nature is just two absolutely feral sexual people just going at it.
I think we're quite similar in that sort of approach. Degradation and certainly not humiliation is a bit of a hard limit. It is a hard limit for me.
Yeah.
Attacking someone's personal, like them as a person, as opposed to them as your sexual partner at the time.
Exactly.
There's a real line there. There's a boundary that I cannot get past. And so I don't. So it's a hard limit for me. Yeah. I find that really.
I mean, attacking someone's very identity and who they are, I think that's just, that's no good. Because that will, I have a hard time believing that doesn't linger, that those words don't sting after the fact. You know?
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there.
You know, for anyone to say that, for me, again, I'm sure that I'm going to, I'm sure you'll get comments about with people who do this, and they understand the context. They'll correct us and say, like, no, actually, this is what it means. I'm just saying from my own experience, I can't do it without feeling like that. And so, you know, so that's a fairly hard limit for me. You
Any
know
others?
What? I haven't encountered them yet, but you know, there are so many scripts out there. I don't really feel like I've never reached that point where I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I should do the script or not because it has this one taboo that I can't approach. There are so many scripts out there. I don't even have to worry about that. That are completely within my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there are others, and I'm sure that those scripts will get filled by other performers who are completely comfortable with that. And you know, more power to them that they can do that. Again, everyone's seeking out their own audience.
I like how you've worded that. It's that there's always going to be someone you'd hope to fill it. It's going to appeal to somebody on some level in some way. But knowing it's not about kink shaming or anybody who is here for humiliation and hard degradation. It's what our level of comfort is, what your level of comfort is, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that gets back to you being authentic and genuine in your script fills, and it's you can't do it otherwise. It's just it wouldn't be real. No. It would just be a performance.
Absolutely. And Wicked. Yeah. I mean, I think I need to put this out there, like. I get nothing out of this except for my own personal satisfaction. So I don't monetize. I cannot, because of the secret nature of this thing. I would have a very difficult time explaining any sort of mystery income that came from doing this. So it's not like I'm doing this for a paycheck. So I don't need to do anything that I'm not comfortable doing and that doesn't appeal to me. But the very first thing about a script is that, do I find it sexy? Do I feel sexy by performing it? And then that's it, because let's face it, this is I'm using time away from other things that I could be doing in my life, away from even from my I'm using time where I could be masturbating instead, listen to somebody else.
Let's get down to the nuts and bolts, the literal nuts and bolts of this. We are, we're here for a good time. I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Absolutely. So if I'm going to use that time, I'm going to do it doing something I like to do. Yeah. And that's it.
That's good. Do you find, is there anything, like I know you and I have talked about upvotes and the response and the follower levels and all that sort of thing. Does it impact you? I know that's a bit of a loaded question.
Oh, it depends on the day.
Yeah. Right.
Depends on which audio has been released. I try so hard not to pay attention to that.
It's hard,
I think,
right?
It's hard. It's hard not to, because it's so in your face. You always see it. Like, here's the numbers. Yeah. Here's where you are on the list of relevant audios or hot audios or what have you.
Yes.
You know, I just love that word. You're relevant. You are no longer relevant, or you're no longer within the first 20 people of relevance.
It does depend on the day, doesn't it?
And the audio. It depends on the day. I know that rationally. Yeah. That should not matter. And whenever I feel down about that, which by the way, those days are fewer and further between. Yeah. So great. I'll say that much. But I'll say that, like, I tell myself, like, these things don't matter. These things are, you know, those are arbitrary. And I've made this analogy to another performer. I said, like, let's say if you knew in your life that 10 people in your life masturbated regularly to the thought of you, would that be appealing to you? Would that make you feel really good? Would that be a kind of a cool, sexy secret to know? Yeah. If the answer is yes, it's like, I guarantee you there's more than 10 people out there.
I'm going to say there's more than 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it, actually.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just by the nature, this sort of artificial kind of bubble that we're in, where like, okay, well, there are thousands of you listening, therefore I should have this many percentage of you wanting me. And if how much of that is just ego, that
That need for validation, I guess, in the space as well.
I need to be the sexiest person on GWA at all times, right? It's just ridiculous. It's so I don't know. And again, part of me, and sometimes feels like a dilettante, in the sense that like there's guys out there that do this way better with more dedication than I do this. Now, here I am recording in a car, and then there's guys that have invested in equipment and editing programs and converting parts of their home into studios. And there's people out there who are literally doing this for an income.
Very
And
invested,
how dare I, sort of some dork, walk in there just saying, "Hey folks, free audio," and just like, I don't care if I get paid for
Jerked
it.
off in my
And
car and
just,
recorded it. Here you go.
yeah, there you go. And I just completely upend this whole system of just doing that. And that, I feel like, so part of me is thinking like, I'm like the usurper. I'm the one that's sort of coming out and doing that. So how dare I really demand more of this space than I already have? It's just, I've got to check myself also for who I am.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I have this little thing that I should stick it up here in my little recording space, actually. And, that whole remind, review, and reset
Reset.
is because I have those days as well. They are fewer and further between, thankfully. But yeah, it's I always need to remind myself what was my motivation for starting this, and
Absolutely.
Just remind myself and just think, do I still have that same level of motivation? Has that motivation changed? And yeah, and then and just hit the reset button and go, okay, tomorrow's another day. What's the plan? What of the 4,700 scripts I have saved, what am I going to record today? Oh, hang on, there's a new shiny offer. Oh, I'm
Yeah,
going to
there you go.
record that. So yeah, no,
Yeah.
I
And
always
the and
find that
those
very interesting.
yeah, and those numbers, by the way, as gratifying as they are. And of course, the thing that gratifies me most is comments. I love
Oh,
when people comment, and I engage every single commenter, right?
No, that's
But
so great of you.
I know it, but those numbers aren't hardly representative of what your listenership is. Because if I look even at my most popular, like I said, my most popular audio, like close to 30,000 listens, has maybe on the comment stream has like 125, 150 comments, right? But meanwhile, half of those are mine
You're
because I'm
responding, yeah?
commenting, I'm responding. So now you're looking at maybe 75 people who have commented, and there's that is such a small amount of the actual. That's a small percentage of who's actually listening out there. And that's it. So, yeah, I mean, we're talking about the numbers, but it all sort of ties in together about the fact that ultimately, on a very good mental health day, those numbers don't matter to me.
I really like how you put that in terms of, you have almost semi-professional people doing this, and it is their livelihood. And then you have people who are, literally talking into their phone, in, during their lunch break in the car somewhere. One of the most prolific, and the first VA I ever heard, the very first audio I ever heard, because I did not know about this space either. He only ever recorded into his phone, and that was it. And just put out an astonishing amount of content, and but to such a level that they're no longer in the space. But I was just completely, I wallowed around in 300 plus audios
Wow.
before I still do in a short period of time. He produced that in his car, in his bedroom, his basement, I don't know. But yeah, I just think, yeah, when you, and never monetized, well, I shouldn't say never, did I think I think he's mentioned that maybe all but seven of them were free.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just think there's you're comparing apples and oranges, really, in that respect. We all come with our own flavor, right? So I know there are people who are not interested in, you know, the dulcet baritone sound of my voice at 6 a.m. in the morning. But then I know there is an appeal there. This is where I try to encourage new performers or people who are thinking about recording and posting. It's like, just do it. Just do it. There is going to be somebody out there that is just, you're going to float their boat and they're going to want to listen to you, you know? So just do it. So, but I really love your conviction and your self-confidence in a way that your motivation seems to be, it's for your own outlet. It's your, it's a personal outlet. It's a sexual outlet.
Absolutely.
It's a creative outlet.
Yeah.
I just think, that's, at the end of the day, that's my primary motivation. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I can have. So if I don't have that, I don't have anything. Exactly. That's why I'm here. I mean, what will I do with Reddit fame? I can't use it as a stepping stone for anything. And so for me, this is it. I am very gratified by my follower count tonight because it makes me feel good to know that people like me, but that's it. That's all I have. And so that's going to have to be enough. And most days it is. Absolutely. When I say like, I don't feel like it and I don't feel like doing this and I get a little bit I just start wondering how long I'll go with this, and then I'll stop for a few days, but then I'll get the itch again. Like,
That itch. Yeah. I got to record something.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm similar. I have, maybe a day or two out of the space every now and then and just like, I need some downtime. Because it's like a vortex, right? So you can disappear into this TARDIS-like space. And lose your life and your real life. But there's a great amount of, I get an immense amount of satisfaction, personal satisfaction, thinking that, perhaps what I've recorded, that somebody could feel a sense of connection or comfort or care or just wants to jerk off to. I don't think about that actually. I don't think about it.
Meanwhile, I'm entirely the opposite. I'm always wondering, like, oh boy, I hope women are touching themselves for me right now. Like, that's completely, that's my drive entirely.
Is it?
It's like, God, it's a God. I hope people find me sexy. Oh, good Lord. That's all I care about.
And on that note, this is something thankfully, I don't struggle with, but I do know others in the space do. Do you find that there's, in terms of your interactions with listeners and how you interact, and are there limits and boundaries, and, what do you sort of set in place? I often say to my followers, just remember where the play and the pause button is. I'm a living, breathing woman
I'm a human being.
I'm not your mummy. Or your mistress, or your MILF, or your teacher, how do you sort of approach that?
I think men actually have it differently. I will say this much.
Yes.
I hear different. That when women have it, I think really terribly for men. I hear that women get a lot more unsolicited pictures and texts and all these things and I have to say that the women who message me are, for the most part, very respectful. Usually, and it's just a very, very natural fan interaction, as if they're just writing a fan letter to, their favorite actor or musician.
Yeah.
And they just say, like, I find your work so sexy. And it's very, very above board. I think that I interact way more with fans in public, I don't really get nearly the type of DM traffic or volume that people would imagine.
Right.
there I do get some, and I have made connections with a few people. I typically don't I don't engage anybody. I usually only actually have really deeper relationships or deeper conversations with other creators. Only because I feel like there's a certain level of you know, camaraderie there, and that we can also have a sort of but that also that we sort of share the same, we know the same risks, we're in the same world, we exist in the same place. When I talk to you know, anyone, I make sure to mention very, very openly, because I am a married man with kids. That is not going to change, no matter what. This will not make that change. And I don't want anything to, I don't want you to ever feel like that that is even going to be a possibility.
An option,
option. But I also say that, like, but I also don't want anyone to feel obligated to me either. And I say, like, when we talk, I don't, we don't owe each other anything, and we are not obligated to each other for anything. I should not feel like, you know, and you shouldn't feel like you have to send me something or that you have to do something for me, you know, for us to have this conversation, and vice versa. I should not feel like I owe you this. And, and, you know, and I'm very careful about, like, who I trust based on how much I know about them, et cetera. And that's about it. And I think that's worked for me fairly well, because at least people, when I say that straight out, they know what they're getting into and what my expectations and my boundaries
are. It's clear.
It's very clear.
It's not ambiguous. That's great. Ah, Bruce, we have been banging on for just over an hour. I've really enjoyed.
I could keep on going. I tell you, it's just, this has been a great conversation.
I love it, but I do also have to go. But this is taking me a lot longer to get home from work than normal. So
that's what I'm thinking. You've got your half hour window. They're really going to question, like, how long did you spend at the store? Thank you so much for joining me in this space and just sitting down and having a chat with me. I find it so fascinating, and I'm really looking forward to this, you know, developing this little series of interviews with other creators, be they editors or scriptwriters or other VAs.
I think it's great.
And even just to see a little bit behind the mic and find out, you know, how people operate and what their motivation is, because it inspires me personally. You know, I find the whole thing fascinating. So I'm going to call it Get In My Ears, as in gimme. just gimme, get in my ears.
and this has been really this was so fun to do. You're so easy to talk to.
I think likewise. I think, you know, I will I don't edit. I don't edit anything. So I'm heavily relying on the recording bot right now that I'm using. I will perhaps we can end it here. Okay. I will stop my little bot. Just give me a second. And I will probably edit this out, because people don't hear me mucking around in here. Leave.